precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Suicide bombers are not just militants. News of a suicide bombing that had happened in Israel, which had killed two Israeli civilians and had wounded 12 some time ago, and had been reported in the USA Today under a headline that makes no mention of the attack. It was buried in an article about the political problems of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Sharon fends off 3 votes of no confidence, quote-unquote, news on Tuesday of this article. In general, reports of injuries from these kinds of suicide bombings in Israel have failed to mention that a significant number of injuries are very serious, including the loss of limbs and brain damage, not to speak of the deep psychological wounds inflicted on ordinary Israelis just trying to go about their daily lives. To add injury to insult, the same article refers to the bomber as just a militant rather than a cold-blooded murderer he really was. If such attacks were happening in New Jersey on ordinary innocent American citizens, as they are on ordinary Israelis, I am certain the perpetrators would be referred to as the terrorists they are. Thank you from Judy in Denver, commenting on an editorial on the USA Today. Here's a question. Are Jewish settlers a Israeli version of the Muslim extremists from Hamas. In other words, they're trying to equate the Jewish settlers to the terrorist organization Hamas. The media often compare Jewish settlers with Hamas terrorists, using the common but deceptive phrase, extremists on both sides. While it's true that both are dedicated to their cause and have a religious ideology, their similarities end there. While Jews are trying to be faithful to the Bible, Hamas is loyal to the Quran. But the real difference lies on how they express their faith. The settlers stand on the biblical promise that God gave the land of Israel to the Jews, while the Muslims believe it's their sworn duty to rid Islamic lands, meaning all of Palestine, that is, Israel, of any Jewish presence. Hamas leaders continuously call for the Palestinians to kill as many Jews as possible by becoming human bombs and blowing themselves up in malls, schools, bus stops, nightclubs, or any other crowded area. No Jewish settler has carried out such atrocities. The Council of Jewish Settlements, which represents the Jewish residents of the biblical heartland of Judea and Samaria, as well as Gaza, does not encourage violence. The Council's purpose is to lobby for the needs of Jewish residents, especially with regards to protection against terrorist attacks. This hardly makes them terrorists. If a settler injures or kills a Palestinian, other than in self-defense, he is subject to arrest by Israeli police and will face trial. This is exactly the opposite of what occurs in the Palestinian Authority, which is a safe haven for terrorists who kill Israelis. The comparison of settlers to Hamas terrorists is totally absurd, but it has become a common way of thinking because the Western nations and media persistently demonize the settlers, as if settling the land of Israel, a biblical command, is somehow evil. Something has gone terribly wrong if a person who builds a house on disputed land is compared to one who straps himself with explosives and kills men, innocent men, women, and children. Another Israel Today article reports Oslo was an illusion. Israeli author Chaim Guri, age 78, says, "The Oslo Accords were an illusion. I don't believe we'll be able to end the conflict in the near future," Guri told the Hebrew Daily Ma'arav in an interview. A Sabra, native Israeli, and former fighter in the Palmach elite army unit in pre-state Israel, Guri was the 308th birth registered in Tel Aviv. His lifetime involvement in the nation's history adds substance to his perspective of current events. Guri grew up together with the late Yitzhak Rabin, who was prime minister when the Oslo Accords were signed in 1993. "Yitzhak, my friend," he says, "since childhood, along with Shimon Peres and others, all fostered the impression that the main issues have been solved and only technicalities remain. One more kilometer here and there. This is simply not true. And now the real problem, the right of return for Palestinian refugees, has not been discussed at all. Without the right of return and withdrawal from all territories captured in 1967, Arafat will not agree to peace. And the question is not about the Jewish settlements, but about evacuating the Jewish neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, Ramat Eshkol, Gilo, and elsewhere. This is madness. So we find ourselves yet again at the starting point of the Israeli-Arab conflict. Guri said he regrets speaking this way, having been a strong supporter of Oslo. "Today, it's clear," he says, "that resolving the conflict with the Arabs will take generations. It will be passed from father to son, from grandson to great-grandson. We Israelis simply don't want to accept this." And may I add that this will never be solved until the Messiah comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah for both the Jews and the Gentile nations. Until he sits on his Davidic throne, there will be no peace. He continues to say, "It's especially distressing to me that many Israelis are highly critical of themselves and feel guilty about the Arabs, while I know very few Arabs who express any remorse for what was done to us. After all, we didn't start the war in 1947. We accepted the UN partition plan, and the Arabs didn't." Guri, who wrote Yitzhak Rabin's favorite song, Harut, The View, and who, like many other Israelis, had trusted Rabin, warned that Israel will lose this current war of attrition like the others in 1970 and in Lebanon. "The Arabs are patient," he said, "and we are not." Let me state the fact that the Israeli government is more inclined to rationale than you would even consider. And here's a good example of that in their dealings with the Arab Israelis and the Bedouin soldiers. According to this little excerpt that I have here, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon had ordered the army to employ a imam, a Muslim cleric, to serve Bedouin soldiers and others of the Muslim faith. The decision was made after the funeral of a Bedouin soldier was delayed because Muslim clerics refused to honor someone who died serving in the Israeli army. It took a few days until the Muslim cleric from the south of Israel agreed to conduct the funeral. I mean, all that does is to show you how the Israeli government is a democratic, humanitarian government. I personally would have not done it, not because I don't have care or humanity towards others, but that all they're going to do is continue to foster a false religion that ultimately undermines the very existence of Israel. But I found it interesting nonetheless, because you're not going to find Jews fighting for these Arab countries, nor would they ever call in a rabbi to officiate funerals or anything of that nature. That would be considered an abomination to the Arab governments. So don't you ever come to me and start telling me that the Israelis are hate mongers. No, quite the contrary. Now, we consider our anti-Semitic watch, a report from the B'nai B'rith, mentions that instead of insisting that the delegates behave in a civil manner and address genuine issues, this is, of course, referring to the past event in Durban on racism. The UN organizers of Durban had abandoned their most basic responsibilities. As a result, Arab and Islamic radicals were able to take over the conference agenda and turn it into a festival of anti-Americanism and anti-Semitism. Of course, we did not hear much about that, but I'm considering this after the fact to show you that the sentiments out there are far and wide. This report goes on to say, at one major forum, for example, a group called the Arab Lawyers Group distributed thousands of copies of what a press report described as pamphlets depicting Jews with fangs, dripping blood, and wearing helmets inscribed with Nazi swastikas. And the UN officials didn't utter a word. Can you imagine that? Here we are pumping millions and millions of dollars into the United Nations, and they could care less about the existence of the nation of Israel. but that, sad to say, was only for starters. At the youth summit, Jewish students were shouted down and physically attacked by a screaming mob of Arab and Muslim demonstrators. Instead of coming to the rescue, UN officials stood by and watched. But all along, the real target was and continues to be the legitimacy of the State of Israel. And they are so right about that. During a conference against racism, Israel was the target of accusations of genocide, ethnic cleansing, other crimes against humanity. Of all the nations in the world, only one, Israel, was singled out for criticism in the governmental draft documents of the World Conference. Ultimately, after concluding that we could not be a part of this outrage, we walked out. So did the Israeli and American delegations. And finally, when Canada, Australia, the European Union, and others threatened to follow us out the door, the conference majority was persuaded, over fierce Arab and Muslim opposition, to adopt a final declaration that stopped just short of branding Israel as the cause of all evil in this world. In the sense that the Arab and Islamic extremists did not get what they really wanted at Durban, to revive the Zionism is racism label, that was a positive result. But they have not given up. Far from it. Always and everywhere, Israel is the target. At the United Nations, that is what goes on, and it happens all the time. Abusing Israel is a habit, practically a ritual at the United Nations. Do you realize that our tax money, American hard-working tax money, is sponsoring this garbage? Of course, we're not directly sponsoring it, but indirectly we are, because the UN is financed by the United States of America primarily. Of all the countries in the world that finance the UN, guess who has to fit the bill? Well, the United States pays the majority of their expenses. And you know what we need to do, folks? If you're listening to this broadcast, we need to write a congressman, call them up, and our senators, and write the White House, and just tell them that we are sick and tired of spending our money and wasting our money in the United Nations. You know what they need to do with the United Nations? You got it. They need to shut the thing down, because it's a joke is what it is. And as a Jewish individual, and a Jewish individual, by the way, who loves the Lord, Jesus Christ is my Messiah, I tell you one thing, it's terrible that we have to funnel our tax money into the United Nations. All the United Nations is the major stepping stone to the one world economic, political, and religious system. The ultimate goal of the United Nations is to control the United States of America and every other country, and their ultimate goal is to call the shots. And if you're a red-blooded American like I am, I don't believe that is right. I bring this up because these are the signs of the times. This is indication and validation that the Bible is true. In fact, the Bible's always been true. We don't need this to validate the Bible. But it sure is good to see that all this is coming to pass. And in some ways, you could say it's encouraging to see all this happen. Encouraging? How can you say such a thing? Well, it's only encouraging from this vantage point. Number one, it demonstrates the Bible is true. I've always known that anyhow. And number two, it demonstrates we are towards the very end of the latter days. And number three, it demonstrates that for those that are hearing this broadcast, God's giving you a chance, an opportunity to get right with Him before the great and notable day of the Lord come. The United Nations is simply a precursor to the one world ecumenical Antichrist system. In fact, Revelation 13 delineates to us these elements. In fact, verse 1, it begins and says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." There we have the political one world system led by a political head. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there we see the beginnings of the one world religious system. And of course, they will all worship him. That's what every dictator demands. And the Bible says in Revelation 13, verse 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. By the way, every dictator, whether it was Mussolini, Hitler, the Emperor of Japan during World War II, Nero, Titus, Nebuchadnezzar, all of these world leaders had the same mentality. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints," in verse 7, "and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." Here we go again, signifying the religious or ecumenical one world system that will be in place under the Antichrist during the tribulation period, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So beware now, anybody that follows the Antichrist will never be rescued from the flames of hell. They'll never be saved. They'll never have a chance to be saved from eternal damnation. Beware now, beware. Verse 9, the Bible says, "If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." It is understood that this second beast is referring to the false prophet. The first beast in this chapter is referring to the Antichrist. Verse 13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." So don't go around thinking that just because the devil is the devil, he don't have the power to do miracles and lying wonders. Well, evidently he does. And that's why you have to know the scriptures to be able to discern between the truth and the false. Verse 15, he has power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Sound familiar? Yes, it sounds very familiar. And even this way of doing things, of course, we know there in the book of Daniel how that the king of Babylon also required all who did not fall down and worship the image that they were to be killed. But even another lesson here is that today, with our technology of electronics and genetic engineering and biochemistry and DNA and bio this and bio that, it is very feasible and possible to make an image, both to speak. And before you know it, this is going to happen. I mean, we already got robots. Verse 16, it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This is the one world economic system. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In other words, 666. We already see that number seen in a number of ways in our generation. We see it in the barcodes. If you've ever noticed a barcode, there's a number of them, but one of the main barcodes, just pick up a box of tissue paper, and you'll see two thin lines in the beginning, two thin lines in the middle, and two thin lines in the end. And those two thin lines, folks, represent the number 6. So what you have there is 666. Interesting they don't put that number underneath it for the most part. And then look at the Hebrew letter, Vav, or its equivalent to our W in the English language. So that's the six, number 6 equivalent in numerics. The six-letter Hebrew alphabet is our W, and it represents 6. Well, don't take a rocket scientist to realize that the World Wide Web, 666. Do you get it? Yes, indeed. These things are not just a matter of coincidence. Do you realize that a Visa card, VI is the number 6, S represents the number 6 in a particular country, and the letter A represents number 6 in a particular country? There you have it again, 666. And there's many, many other examples I can give you. We are closer than you think. Are you ready? Are you ready? The only way you're going to be ready is to be born again. News and documentation courtesy of Zion News International. Now, don't go anywhere. There's more great programming coming your way. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you've remained with us for the second half of this broadcast. We want to continue now with Evangelist Randy Sutherland, who is preaching on Daniel the prophet. So be ready now to receive a great blessing on Bible prophecy.
But the Matthew, we know, is written with a Jewish overtone.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And I've heard a lot of people take verses out of Matthew 24, and I have.
Yeah.
But Matthew 24, if you get me past verse number 9 and 10, you done got me too far over in that tribulation period. But here now, I mean, Jesus is answering these questions, his disciples. You can read through the Word of God all the way up to the stoning of Stephen. Yes. They were still looking for the kingdom to be established. I mean, not one time does he's not referring to the rapture in Matthew chapter number 24. But they ask him three questions, maybe two. He said, and he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Doesn't say nothing about the rapture there. Matthew 24:15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. We see Jesus places the abomination of desolation near to the revelation. Revelation 11:1, it said, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar. What I'm saying is there's going to have to be a temple to measure, and there's not a temple there now. This has to be a future event. Paul, when he's talking about the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. The abomination of desolation has to take place in a rebuilt temple. There's not a temple there now. This has to be a future event. Now let me say this. Right now, as we speak, there is a red heifer. Now it's not reached 2 years of age. You have to have, in order for the temple to be consecrated and dedicated, that red heifer has to be there. And it's not 2 years old yet. Now, the rebuilding of the temple began to be in the knowledge of the people of Israel May 14th, 1948. I mean, right now, Brother Free, they tell us, you tell us, that they have this blueprint to the temple. The cornerstone has been found there in the Solomon's Desert. I mean, what I'm saying is things are shaping up for the rebuilding of the temple. Did you know that I believe it was 3 years ago, they sacrificed a Passover lamb on the Holy Mount. They have discovered the factory to make the incense that was the same incense made in Herod and King Herod's day. They have the red heifer. They've done DNA testing and found the Cohen family, which if you trace the Cohen family all the way back, it goes all the way back to the Levitical priesthood. They found the DNA of the Cohen family. No mistakes. I'm telling you, the priests are in order. They have everything. They have every piece of furniture except the Ark of the Covenant. They probably got that somewhere, Brother Frank. But I tell you, they don't have it out right now. What I'm saying is everything is shaping up for the building of the temple, for the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem next to the Eastern Gate. He's going to walk through that Eastern Gate one of these days, friend.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We see the promise of this prophecy. The Bible said that it's determined. I want to tell you what a lot of liberals make you think this Bible was written by a bunch of idiots riding around on a camel somewhere with a bunch of cloaks with a bunch of stone tablets in their hand and said, well, I just guess it'd be good if I wrote this down. And no, friend, the Bible tells us we have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm telling you, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the Bible tells us it was holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, friend, the Holy Ghost said, sit down in those men. They could not make a mistake.
Right.
You read in Acts 27:7, Paul there, he's on the ship. I mean, that ship has no control. He says, we just put up the sails and let her drive. That's the same word that is used when he says let her drive. It's the same word as moved. I'm telling you, say what you're saying, preacher. I'm saying just as the wind used the sails of that ship to move the ship, God used the personalities of these men to give us the holy word of God. Hey, man, thank God. I'm glad I'm not looking for the Word of God. I've got the Word of God in front of me right now. I'm not looking for a bunch of lost books. I'm not looking for the Dead Sea Scrolls. I've got the Word of God, the living Word of God. The Bible says it's determined. And that's just the way that it's going to be, amen. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us in Matthew 24:35, He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's a promise keeper, and the only one I won't do with him. Amen. I mean, he's faithful to his word. I'm hurrying. We see the people of this prophecy. He said, thy people. It's not the church's trouble. It's Jacob's trouble. He said, this is going to be to thy people. Nothing in the Old Testament applies to the church. I mean, the Seventh-day Disadvantages say that they're spiritual Israel. They need to read their Bible again. And I tell you what they'll do, they'll use a King James Bible and show you why they believe what they believe. And most of us, we can't take a King James Bible and even show somebody how to be saved, let alone line up with the Word of God doctrinally. Amen. The church was a mystery. I mean, all the way up, and I said it earlier, all the way up to the stoning of Stephen. I mean, you look here, John the Baptist. He was martyred. Jesus was martyred.
Yes.
Of course.
Right.
Much more than a martyr.
Yes, yes.
But he was as a martyr.
Yes, sir.
Much more than a martyr. I want to clear that up in case some of you out there try to twist something that I said.
Uh-huh.
But then the stoning of Stephen, when he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, right after that, right after the stoning of Stephen, the Apostle Paul comes on the scene. He's converted in Acts chapter number 9. And in Acts chapter number 10, the message is given to Cornelius' house and given to the Gentiles. I'm telling you, friend, that Bible is right, but they were still looking for a kingdom. They had no idea. Somebody read it earlier today. They had no idea. The church was not even, it was a mystery to them. That's why Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. He said, I'm going to lay down my life. He said, oh no, be it far from thee. Acts chapter number 1, he said, wilt thou now restore the kingdom of Israel. Hey, the message to the Gentiles comes in Acts chapter number 10, and somebody needs to tell the Church of Christ that. They're not Church of Christ. They're not a church. Amen. Jeremiah called it Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. I got news for you right now, friend. I'm going to be out of town when all this is going on. I'm glad, friend, to be saved and going to be saved from wrath. Romans 5:9 says much more than being now. Right now, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, amen, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Mid-tribbers use this, and they say, that you know mid-tribbers use that same text. What they need to do is read the book of Revelation when he said the wrath of the Lamb has come, and that's at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We're saved from wrath.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I believe somebody's in here lost today. What we heard of the preaching this morning, somebody here probably need to get born again. You say, I'll get born again. I'll figure it out after all y'all have gone. No, you will not, friend. 2 Thessalonians tells us, in chapter number 2, verse 7, says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Let me ask you something. Who would have power to do that? God, the Holy Ghost. That's who that's talking about. The Holy Spirit will stop constraining. Verse number 8, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse number 11.
Yeah.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now I tell you, Tim LaHaye and some of these things that he's saying right now is sending more people to hell. I mean, he's made them believe that they'll be able to get saved out of tribulation. I'm going to tell you something. If you've heard a clear presentation of the gospel, which everybody in here has, I'll tell you, you'll be here. It's going to be hell on earth, and you better get saved by the grace of God, or you're going to be going through this. You say, not me, preacher. I tell you, if God sends you strong delusion, you're going to believe the lie, you're going to accept the mark of the beast, and then you cannot be saved. Then we see the place of this prophecy. Where is it? It's thy holy city, Jerusalem. All eyes are on Jerusalem today. I mean, in the right in the middle of everything is the holy city of Jerusalem. I tell you, the Jews are flooding in today, Brother Freed. They're flooding into Jerusalem. And little do they know the horror that's going to be upon them. That's why I believe in this man. And that's why I believe in this meeting, to go to them, to reach out before it's too late. But I want to tell you, and I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, God's not done with the Jew.
Right.
You mark it down, friend.
Right.
Everything the Bible says about the Jew will come to pass. Just as, did Jesus know they were going to reject him? Did Jesus know they were going to? Absolutely. But just as the kingdom was offered to Israel as a legitimate offer, so is salvation offered as a legitimate offering. Even though God knows that some people are going to reject him, he offers salvation to the Gentiles just like he offered the kingdom to the nation of Israel, even though he knew that they would not accept it. I tell you, my little old mind can't get a hold of that. But I tell you, there's a great God in heaven, friend, that's got it all under control. I mean, nothing's caught him off guard. I mean, he hasn't taken Michael Magnesia. I'm glad everything's running right on schedule. We are fulfilling prophecy, and I'm so glad I'm saved. I can't hardly stand it to be right in the middle of this thing going on. But it's to Jerusalem. But God will keep his covenant with Abraham with the land, seed, and blessing. Genesis 17:7, he said, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant." The Lord Jesus is going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant of land, seed, and blessing. He will fulfill the Davidic covenant, amen, of house, throne, and the kingdom of David. 2 Samuel 7:16 said, "And thy house and all thy kingdom shall be established forever." It says, "Thy throne shall be established forever." I'm telling you, you mark it down, friend, one of these days Jesus is going to be sitting on that throne, amen. Both of these, the Davidic covenant and Abrahamic covenant, are unconditional covenants and will not be broken. Genesis 15, I'm telling you, God put Abram to sleep. He knew Abram wouldn't be able to hold up his end of the deal. No covenant for us. I'm not keeping covenant. I've got Jesus keeping covenant, amen. Jesus is keeping covenant of my salvation, and he's keeping covenant with God the Father about the throne of God, the throne of David, the Abrahamic covenant. I tell you, when Jesus comes back at the Revelation, he's not going to come back to debate. He's not coming to debate anything. He's coming to take over, friend. I'm telling you, he was a lamb slain, but when he comes back, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I tell you, friend, the first time he came, he gave his life. But when he comes back to the Revelation, amen, he's giving Israel back the land that belongs to them anyhow. When he came the first time, he endured the cross. When he comes back to the Revelation, he's going to enjoy a coronation. When he came the first time, he suffered on a tree. When he comes at the Revelation, he's going to sit on the throne. He came the first time, he was rejected by the Jews. But when he comes back in the Revelation, he's going to reign in Jerusalem. Hey, he'll not be covered with blood. He's going to be covered with a vesture. I'm telling you, thank God, friend. He's not coming back riding a little wild coat. He's coming back riding a white horse. And amen, I'm glad I'm part of the saddle club, amen. Thank God. When he comes back, he'll be riding a white horse. Amen. And I'm glad we're coming back with him, riding white horses. We leaving out of here like Superman and coming back like the Lone Ranger, amen, riding a white horse. Revelation 19, verse 11, he said, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him." Somewhere in there, Brother Freed. Somewhere in there. Riding one of them white horses. Neil might have to be a Clydesdale, but it's going to be a white horse. Somewhere in there. I'm glad the beloved John saw this old country boy right here, amen, sitting on top of one of them white horses. I'm glad he's a coming back one day, and we're coming back with him, amen. Thank God, friend. I'm glad that Jesus saved us. He saved us from wrath. One of these days, friend, he's coming back riding a white horse, and we're coming back with him. Help yourself, man. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. The Bible said, the Lord himself, he ain't sending nobody back. He's not sending Moses, and he could. He's not sending Elijah. Both of them come back after a while anyway. That's them two witnesses probably witnessing in the middle of the streets. But he's not sending them. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And if he's coming back with a shout, I believe it'd be all right for you and I to shout today. He's coming back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain. Whoa! We which are alive and remain shall be caught up That's the same word used there when Philip was caught up. He was caught away by the Spirit. I tell you, the word means to take by force. I tell you, the devil's crowd may try to stop us. I believe the devil himself may be up there somewhere trying to stop it. But as my old grandmother said, she said she's going to take her false teeth out and hit the devil right between the eyes with them and say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, thank God.
Well, we sure want to thank God for that good message. And dearly beloved, sinner friend, are you coming back? Are you coming back? The only way you can be sure that you're coming back with the Lord is you have to be born again. And that will guarantee you that you will be taken out of this miserable world in the rapture. But you're going to have to be born again. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I hope today, whether you're Jewish or a Gentile listening to this program, that you've given serious thought to your eternal destiny. I hope to see you in heaven someday. Will you consider the claims of Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah? The decision is up to you, but there must be more than just a decision. There must be true repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.